This is Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. I'm Levi. With me is Travis and Lisa. And today we're going to be talking again a little bit about roller coasters, what we started talking about last week. And what does it look like to be in step with the Spirit, to be on track with Jesus? And I've told you this before, I don't like roller coasters. And I was kind of unpacking, why don't I like roller coasters? I don't really have a fear of heights. I can go up on high things. It doesn't really bother me. Go to a high building or whatever where it's structurally safe. And I know some good engineers have done that. But I don't know who built this or engineered this roller coaster. I don't know who's maintaining this roller coaster. And the 18-year-old kid who's telling me to get on, I am not positive that he's done all the safety checks that he needs to do in order for me to get on that thing, for me to go 70 miles an hour down a hill, go above loop-de-loops and right, left, and all of the turns that I'm going to make. I'm not fully confident that I trust that he's done all of it that he has was expected to do. And so one of the things that I was thinking about is, what does it look like to be a Christian? And I grew up in the church, and you guys did too. And I was really good at knowing all the Bible stories. You know, since I was a little kid, I was drugged to church, not once, not twice, but thrice. 3 times a week we went to church, and we went Wednesday night, we went Sunday morning, we went Sunday night, and it was not an exception. And even the Super Bowl Sunday, we'd make it to that thing, you know. And that's how you knew who the real Christians were, right?
Yep.
And I just think those people that came up with that idea, they're not spiritual. They just hated football. And so, I grew up, I had my own Bible. I read my Bible. I knew the stories. I knew all of those things. But I never understood really what it meant to be a Christian, other than that I needed to believe in Jesus, that he was my Savior. And I believed in that. But what's after that? What does it look like? And so that's what we want to look at today, because Paul talks about this. He gives us a treatise in chapter 8 of Romans of what does it look like to live and to trust and to ride this roller coaster that God has laid out. First thing that we need to understand is that God is relational. In his very nature, he's a relational God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, 3 in 1. And so 3 essences, 1 God. It's 1 times 1 times 1, which equals 1. And God was in a relationship with himself. He was completely satisfied, completely loving, completely caring. So he didn't create us so that he would have somebody to love him. And it wasn't that he was doing. He didn't need someone else to love him. He was complete in his very nature. What God was doing was he was wanting to share his love with us. And that's a very different concept. And so throughout this text, what we're going to see in this is that Adam and Eve, humanity, was not created to follow rules and all of that stuff. They were created to have a relationship where the love of God was shared with them, and the love of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They were invited into the Trinity and into the internal dance of that. And so when I was growing up, and this is probably true for you, when I was told about holiness, I was thought it meant like just be good and then you're holy.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm good, then I'm holy. And holiness itself was about rules. Yet when he talks about holiness, he gives kind of a relational response to it. He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. And the second of these is to love your neighbor. That's relational. Mm-hmm. That's not rules. I can't rule myself to love God. I can't rule myself to love my neighbor. It's a relationship that happens. It's something that is not connected to just doing rule type based things. And so one of the things that happened when I read this is I, for the first time, understood, okay, I know who Jesus is, but now I know what I'm supposed to do and how I'm supposed to live as a Christian. And so, Lisa, you want to read Romans 8, 12, and 13?
Sure. So then, brothers, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live.
There's relational language right off the bat in this. He says brothers and sisters. And there's this obligation to not live by the flesh, but according to live according to the Spirit. You're not obligated to the rules any longer. It's no longer by effort or by your sin, try harder, do better, rah, 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 willpower type idea. It's actually a different obligation in this thing. And verse 13 tells us what that is, you know, to live, not according to the flesh, because that will produce death. But if we live, by the Spirit, you put death, the misdeeds of the body, you will live. And so there's this living with the Spirit. It's a relationship to the Spirit and what he's asking and what he's guiding. And there's a trust in there.
Yeah, I think the other relation that is really interesting here is debtors. Brothers and sisters and debtors, not to flesh, but according debtors to life. And that's an interesting, that too is a relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So it's not about really trying. It's about trusting.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about trying to figure this thing out. It's about trusting the work of the Spirit in your life. And so biblical faith or trust is action oriented. It's biblical faith isn't, oh, I'm giving God good thoughts. It's doing what he says, right? Like, it's not just, it's like, hey, the Spirit is there to guide us, to direct, to illuminate scripture, to guide us in how to live. And so as you start to trust God and see God do things, you start to gain confidence and want to do what he says. And so because there's a relational component to it.
Well, I just wonder what the difference between sort of action-oriented faith, like what would be the opposite of that? What would it look like to not have an action-oriented faith?
I think it's a lack of obedience, a lack of works, which is it works. It's a lack of the fruits of the Spirit showing up. It's a lack of... you know, it's kind of being like, well, I'm a Christian, but nobody knows, or you've never really talked about it, or it's not a daily part of your life. It is a moment in your life. And I think that would be a faith that is disconnected. One of the things I think you have to do in the midst of this is to realize, in this relationship that God loves you. Man, he loves you. If you miss that point, it is really hard to walk by the Spirit, I think, because I don't know why he's telling me this thing. And if I don't believe that he has, man, he cares so deeply about me that he's telling me the truth in the midst of this, I think it's really hard to walk by the Spirit. It just becomes like, I just want to look better than Travis, which is not.
Watch it there.
Oh, sorry.
Watch it.
Instead of, man, God loves me so much, I'm gonna walk with him. I'm gonna be in this relationship. And when he says go, I'm gonna go. And when he says go this way, I'm gonna go that way, right? Like, and I'm gonna walk in this obedience, not out of this rules that I'm earning something, but because he loves me, that he cares about me.
Well, yeah, you get that, like, at the, not just at the beginning of this chapter that we talked about last week, right? That there's no condemnation in Jesus, but at the end of the, or more like the middle of the chapter, there's this really famous, familiar passage, Romans 8:28, that is all about walking in step with the Spirit, being grounded in your understanding of just how much God loves you. You know, Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we don't know what to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself prays for us. And we know that all things work together for those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. And God loves us. I think that what you're saying is understanding the love of God. You cannot walk in the Spirit if you don't understand the love of God.
No.
Or if you don't believe that God loves you, I suppose you could say.
Yeah. It's not that, I think for me, it's not that in my life, it's not that I didn't know that God loved me, but it was more about how much he loved me. It was like, okay, he loves me, like, you know, like grandpa loves you, right? Like, He loves you enough to hang out with you for a few hours and take you fishing. But he doesn't, you know, he's not, you know, grandpa's not probably going to be there all the time in those moments, type of a thing, because there's a different connection. But he loves us as his children. Like, it's a different relationship. He loves us in such a way that he knows us intimately, that the Spirit can pray for us and knows, like, we don't even know what to pray for. And the Spirit's like, oh, let me pray this about little Jimmy.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, let me pray this because this is what I want for him. He doesn't even know it yet, but this is who he is. This is his identity. This is where he can go if he just walk and follow me.
Well, yeah. And then the next two verses in the section that we're talking about today indicated a further intimate level of the relationship that we have with God as our Father. Right, verse 14 and 15 say, "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." And if I'm right, that word Abba is the word for, it isn't like father. It's not like a formal word. It actually is the word like daddy. It's the word that if your dad was the CEO of a company and you're like running through the halls because you kind of owned the place, you would never talk to your dad as if he were the CEO. You would run up and say, "Daddy," and you would hug him. And I think that that's such a beautiful picture of the love that God has for us and the relation that he's calling us into.
And the adoption piece of that from that culture was significant because you were basically like cut ties with your whole old familial self and you got all the benefits that came with your new family. And so to be able to call the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the creator of the universe, daddy, and get all the sonship responsibilities like that, what Paul is touching on there is hugely, huge implications for what that means to be adopted into the family.
Yeah. And it's part of the reason, like when Jesus was here on earth, when he talked about the Father, he used that Abba in that. And it's kind of one of the religious leaders wanted to kill him. And because they were like, "That is holy. And, you know, you don't say that." They didn't even write that. And it was so intimate and so connected. And they're like, "How is this possible?" And it's not possible without Jesus. It wasn't possible. It was all about earning this thing instead of learning to walk by the Spirit's, you know, guidance in this.
And then it shows again the heart of the Father and his love for us as his children, that he gave his only child, his only son, sent him here to pay a horrible death for our sins, which I love my kids. I don't know that there's anybody else on this planet that I would love enough to say, "Here, take one of my kids to take your place because you screwed up real bad." So that kind of love is like mind-blowing type of love that my earthly simple mind simply cannot understand. But God's bigger and he understood way better.
Well, I think if we think about it in terms of like, what wouldn't you do for your kids? Like, I mean, your kids go, you know, potentially they could go off the rails and, you know,
like Tuesday.
But, you know, even as when they try adulting, you know, they could go off the rails. But if they came back and said, "Dad, I need help." Door wide open. Here's what we're going to do. Let's walk with you. I think that's the picture of God with us. Mm-hmm. Like, even if you stumble, even if you fall, man, daddy's here and the door's open. I'm not running after you. I'm not coming after you. You can go and do your thing. It's going to be painful. It's going to hurt. But when you're ready, you can repent, as the Bible says, turn back, turn around and come, and he's going to welcome you with open arms. That's how much he loves us. One of the cool things that you find in the scripture is just how salvation works. And it's actually through the Godhead. The Father ordained it. The Son accomplished it through his death, burial, and resurrection. And the Spirit seals it. The Spirit is then given to us now and forever. He seals us as children of God. The adoption papers have been sealed by him, that we can walk with him, that he can guide us, that he can speak into us, that he can began to say, hey, that's not a really good idea what you're about to do. This is not what I have for you. In the same way, just like we do with our kids. Hey, don't touch the hot stove. Mm-hmm. Or hey, don't punch your brother in the face. That's one at our mm-hmm. our house.
Mine too.
Yeah. You know, and so it's those types of things. It's this movement of trust that we start to build as we understand how much God loves us. And when you understand that he designed it, the world in which we live, he knows how it works, and that he loves us so much that he wants us to enjoy it. That's the other thing I hate about Christianity, or maybe some of the things of Christianity, is I always thought it was like, I don't know, fuddy-duddy. is like the good kids were always, and I was always a little bit, not terribly naughty, just naughty enough.
Slightly rebellious.
Yeah. Like, just like, I want to try that over there. I want to do this over there. And I did, because I didn't realize what it actually was and what God was actually doing in the midst of that.
I think that comes with part of the growing part of any relationship. Like you talked about at the front end of this, like the more you walk in the Spirit, and with the Father, you realize like, oh, these things that I'm doing, just like in the parenting scenario, the more that your kids trust you, you're building a trusted relationship in your Heavenly Father as you walk with the Spirit. Like you realize, oh, these things are for my good. And maybe that comes with a maturity level for 2/3 of us, because Lisa, like we just know women are smarter and more mature than guys are. So.
Preach it.
But, you know, it takes us a while to figure those things out. And some of us kids have to stick our hands on the stove to figure it out. And some kids can just learn that by what their parents teach them. But it, like you said, it comes out of love. And when you understand that love and you see that love played out in life, that builds your trust and then the reciprocating of love.
Yeah, I remember being in church when I was a kid. And they'd use this word, born again. You got to be born again. And I was like, what? What in the world does that mean? Like, what does it look like? What does that mean to be born again? And there's a story actually in the Bible that talks about that. John chapter 3, Jesus is having a conversation with this guy by the name of Nicodemus. And Jesus tells him, you must be born again. And it creeps old Nicodemus out a little bit. And he says, I'm an old man. Am I supposed to go back into my mother's womb? And Jesus goes, no. You must be born of water, natural birth. And you must be born of the Spirit. It's entering into this fellowship. It's being born into a new life with God. This is what the Christian life is. In verse 16, the Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, that we're children of God. It testifies with our spirit. There's two spirits there in the passage. One is the Holy Spirit. The other is our spirit, our essence, our inner being. What he's telling us is that the Holy Spirit tells our inner being, you have been born again. You are now a child of God. You are deeply loved by him. You're a part of, you're an heir to the kingdom. You're all of these things. And it's testifying, like, remember who you are. Remember what has been done for you, not just to lay out rules for us, but what great measures that your Heavenly Father went to bring you in and to make you a child. It testifies with our spirit, because I think it's really, I don't know. I sometimes go, God, do you love me? I don't know. Do you? Like, really? Like, you know what I mean? Like, anybody else ever have that experience? Yeah. Where you're just kind of going, I don't know. I think he loves everyone else, but I don't know if he loves me. Right. Part of it is because I think we're alone with our own stuff. We're alone with our own junk, and we know the junk that, and you're like, how can you love me? I'm so broken. I've got this stuff that I do and I don't want to do, as Paul says in Romans 7. And yet, man, God loves us. And there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. That's what he says at the beginning of the chapter. If you're in Christ, you are connected. You're in this relationship. You're invited into it, not just once, but you're invited into it daily. And that's the beauty of the Spirit. It lives, it indwells, it guides, it directs, it illuminates, it prays for us. It wants what God wants for us. It wants us to be in relationship to him and relationship to others. Christianity is both, it's a vertical and a horizontal at the same time. It's a cross, if you will. Whoa, right? Vertical, like we have a relationship with God, and then that goes out into our relationship with others.
Yeah, I was thinking of I remember the day just recently where God's love occurred to me, for me, for the first time, maybe. And one of my favorite songs that keeps coming to mind now is the song by Need to Breathe called Multiplied. Do you know that song? The chorus goes, God of mercy, sweet love of mine, I've surrendered to your design. And I think that walking in step with the Spirit every day has this aspect, not just of trust, but of surrender, right? When you get in that roller coaster, you have to surrender to the faulty 18-year-old who has not actually done the safety checks. You got to surrender to the seat. And there's no turning back either. Once you're on, you're on. And so I think that surrendering to his good design, the plan that he has, is part of that daily invitation to walk in the Spirit.
Yeah. And the Spirit testifies, and then in verse 17, it says, now if we are children, then we are heirs. He came and gave his life on the cross. He rose again through our faith in this. The Spirit was given to us, and it testifies to the reality and the truth of that. And the problem is not that we don't love God enough. It's that we don't know how much he loves us. And it is incredible news that God loves you. And when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, everything changes. We're born anew, born again, as Jesus says. And that is good news you can use.
Thanks for tuning in with us this week. We hope you enjoyed Pearls and Swine on Good News You Can Use. If you'd like to check out any of our previous episodes, you can search Evangel Houghton on your preferred podcast platform. You can always go to evangelup.org and find the latest episodes there as well. And if you've got a topic that you'd like us to cover and discuss, shoot us an email, travis@evangelup.org, and let us know what you'd like to hear. Or if you have any questions, you can send those there as well.